You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
So I'm raising a Wisconsin child, and I know this now because it's winter, and he refuses to wear a coat, right? And in the morning, we get ready for school, and I'm like, we got to go. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm like, no, you're not. You don't have a coat on. No, I don't need one. I'm like, it's freezing outside. You need a coat. No, I don't need a coat. I got a hoodie. I'm good. I'm good, Dad. I'm good. We'll put a hat on. No, I don't do hats. I got a hoodie. We're not doing the coat, Dad. Walks outside. Like, look, I'm standing outside, Dad. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm like, no, you have to wear a coat. And we get in this argument, and finally he gets a coat on because I'm his dad, and he's supposed to say, wear a coat when I say wear a coat. And so he gets his coat on, but we've already started our morning, and we're arguing a little bit. And then I get to school, and I drop him off. I'm like, hey, love you, son. Like, have a great day. And I get a text from his mother. You dropped him off at school too early. He's going to freeze to death. I'm like, he's got his coat on. But no, he's going to be cold. You shouldn't drop him off so early. You always do is you drop him off too early, and he's got to be outside. But he wants to go early because he wants to hang out with his friends. So I take him early, and she's like, but it's too cold to go out early. The doors aren't open yet. He's going to freeze. He's got a coat on. What's the big deal? I got the coat on, and I'm already starting my day going. I don't know if you've ever, do you remember George Costanza's dad, Frank Costanza? Serenity Now, right? I'm already going, Serenity Now, right? Serenity Now. And then I think, okay, I'm going to go to work. And I think, well, you know, I'll just turn on some talk radio and just see what's going on in the world. Just to see maybe what the other side is saying. You know, I'm just going to see what the other side is saying. Not a good idea. Find myself very quickly, Serenity Now. Serenity Now, right? I get to work, and I'm faced with people who are that have problems, and their system problems, and some of these problems should be really easy to fix, like the fact that it gets cold here every year in Wisconsin. We have winter. I don't know why we haven't fixed our cold warming shelter system. But like every year, and I sit there and it boggles my mind. I'm like, we live in Wisconsin. Winter is not a surprise. It's not a surprise. It gets cold here, people. Like, figure out the shelter thing. And I'm just, you know, Serenity Now, Serenity Now. And then I got to go visit a client who's living on the street. And I show up and he's not there, but his stuff's there. And I'm greeted by a nice gentleman, who says, oh, you're with Homeless Outreach? I'm like, yes, I am. I'm with Homeless Outreach. Good, you're going to get rid of all this stuff, right? Get this guy out of here. Get rid of all his stuff. I'm like, well, that's really not how we work, sir. Like, we don't just take people's things. Well, he's not here, right? I'm like, well, no, he's not here right now, but, like, he'll come back. Well, get his stuff out of here. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to take someone's personal things. He goes, that's the problem with you people. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, you people. Yeah, you people are just enabling him. You're just letting them stay here as long as they want, and then you give them free rent, and then you move them into my apartment building, and then you got all these homeless people and mentally ill people, and you have prostitutes, and you're giving them all free rent, and you stick them in my apartment building, and I got to deal with them. And I'm like, that's really not what I do, right? That's not what I do. What do you do, sir? He's like yelling at me. And I'm like, you don't know what I've got. I had to deal with coats this morning. Right? I had to deal with an 11-year-old with coats. And he's yelling at me, and he goes, who is your supervisor? And I'm like, I'm happy to give you my supervisor's name. And I'm happy to tell you, listen, buddy, like, everyone's going through some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got their stuff they're going in. We try to help people who are going through stuff. He goes, I know about stuff, this guy says. And I'm like, you do? And he goes, yes, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Very good. Let's talk about that, sir. And he's like, I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about this guy who's living in the park that you're probably going to stick in my building and ruin my building. And it keeps going. And I am just building to a total froth. I've totally lost it. And I'm like, you know what? You can talk to my supervisor. And here's my card. And I choke him and I say, Serenity Now! Now, the truth is, some of that really happened. Some of that was exaggerated for this story, and some of that happened in my head. And I'm going to let you determine what's what and where it was, okay? But we deal in life, we have all of these issues. We have all of these stressors, and we're screaming serenity now. We have this weight of relationships. We have weight of politics, economics, families, opinions are everywhere. Media. It's crazy. And it feels like around Christmas, it always gets a little nuttier, right? People get a little more on edge. And then we get close to elections, and people get even more on edge. I want to share with you a place in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 11. It's in the Old Testament. And in this text, it's a prophecy that is announcing that one day that the Messiah is going to come and he's going to bring peace. Then it describes what the world would look like under God's rule and reign, where there'll be no division. So Isaiah 11, verse 1 says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse." Jesse is King David's dad, by the way, and Jesus came from his family line. "From this roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And we will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with a rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf," ready? This is what the world's going to look like when he has full reign. "The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. And my dog will not poop in the house anymore." I added that one in. "The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The elephant and the donkey will like each other." Anyone paying attention? You catch that? Okay, all right. I'm just making sure. I'm adding stuff to Scripture. I want to make sure you know that I'm just adding that in. That wasn't really there. Okay, all right. "The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea." Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world like that? Can you imagine? You can't make this kind of peace happen, by the way. Like, you can't do it. You can't make this kind of peace. I cannot make a lion eat hay and sit with a lamb. I can't do it. I cannot heal generations of injustice, racism, and oppression. I cannot bring harmony to this environment. I cannot create unity in our governmental system. Neither can you. Neither can you. Disharmony, opposition, friction is always going to be around until the Lord has come and is in complete rule and reign of our world. Amen? Amen. Yeah. We are always going to live in this tension in our world. And I can't change that, and neither can you. One of my favorite stories of Jesus is a story where he's teaching, and they bring in this woman, and they, right in front of, you know, the crowd of folks, and they bring in this woman, and they're like, "Teacher, this woman has committed adultery. Adultery. Deal with her, right? We should stone her. We should stone her. Teach this woman. She was caught in an adultery, and in the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" I love this. Jesus draws in the sand. And there's all these debates about what Jesus was drawing in the sand. I think it was like, serenity now. Right? And it says, serenity now. These people are driving me crazy. No, but he writes in the sand, and then he looks up and he says, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And what does the crowd do? One by one, drop the stone, walk away. Walk away. It's amazing. Jesus actually creates peace, becomes a peacemaker, changes the whole scene with just a few words, turns an angry crowd away. Like, that is so amazing. Jesus is the ultimate example of peace. He turns an entire crowd away with just a few words. But he's even more than that. He's even more than that. In Ephesians 2, 13 through 18, it says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. See, God is a God of heavenly peace. Heavenly peace. The one that can create the lion to lay down with the lamb and eat hay came to earth as a human being to break through all of the chaos and reconcile us. He takes on the chaos, shows us how to live a life of peace. And you can try to change your behavior on your own. And there's lots of tools and strategies that you can use to help you. Therapy is always good. Always a fan of therapy. However, in my experience, when you try to create this peaceful life that we're talking about, doing it without God just gets you trapped in a maze. You get trapped in a maze. You're stuck in a never-ending maze of turmoil that you don't see a way out of. And it's always there. But Jesus is actually the way out. Jesus is the way to peace. Now check this out. Jesus said in John 16, 33, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he says, in him we have peace. Jesus is going to give me peace. He says I'm going to have some trouble, right? That's the bad news. It's not going away. You're going to have trouble. It's always going to be around. But I don't have to take the weight of all of the world because Jesus also said that he's going to fix the world. That's not my responsibility. There's going to be trouble. Jesus is going to give me peace, and he's fixing the world. Now, he says this in Colossians 3:15. No, he didn't say this. Paul wrote it. Just clarification. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Now, I got this picture recently, and I think it helps explain that a little bit. This picture was really for me, but I think it's for you too, or at least parts of it. So I got this picture that I was a coffee thermos, okay? I was a coffee thermos. And I gotta say, that's weird, Dave, but that happens sometimes with me and God. We pray, and then he kind of leads me down a path. And I was this coffee thermos. And I'm sitting there going, how am I a coffee? That's your identity. You're a coffee thermos. And what God was doing, he was pouring hot coffee into me. He was pouring hot coffee into me. And it was beautiful. I was like, that's great. I love coffee. This is great. And then what he showed me was a bunch of different types of coffee cups, right? Different types, different sizes, shapes, colors. And I was pouring for from my big coffee thermos out the coffee into the different cups. He goes, that's your identity. That's who you are. You can only pour out what I pour into you. And as I was pouring these cups in, on these different coffee cups, people were drinking from them. Some of them were drinking it right away. Some of them were letting it cool for a little bit. And I remember in sort of this prayer time, someone goes, I don't want coffee. I want tea. I want tea. And to me, I was like, oh, God, we got to have tea. I got to get tea. And he's like, no, you don't. You can only give what I have given you. You can only pour in to them what I have poured into you. And that is your identity. That is your identity. Now, friends, I think that is how God is going to use us to change the world. I think that's the way he changes the world. That is the plan. You see, God is changing the world. He is turning you all into coffee mugs. And he is pouring into you. He is pouring into you peace. He is pouring into you the power of his peace. And what he's asking you to do is just give it away. Is to give it away. But here's the thing. You can't manufacture this thing of peace. You're a coffee mug. It has to be poured into you. It has to be poured into you. And as you let God pour into your life, your life changes from the inside out. You're able to give. You are able to receive. And people know you by your peace. They know you by your peace. Now, I think some of us here today have had our coffee travel mug and we've never taken the lid off. And you are empty. You're empty. You don't know what I'm even talking about. It's confusing. Like, what do you mean? What kind of peace are you talking about? I'm talking about allowing God to enter into your life. Enter in your life and just pour into you. Pour into you a peace that is not of this world that will change your life forever. And so when we get to prayer ministry time, I'm going to ask you, if you've never done that, if you've never taken the lid off of your coffee cup and said, all right, God, you've never taken the lid off your heart, pour into me. I want to receive what you have to offer. We want to do that today. And then there's some of you, I think, I feel like you've had the lid off, but you've allowed lots of stuff to be, other than what he has to offer, get poured into you. You have been influenced by lots of things that you have dumped into your travel mug. You've just let it dump in, whatever you want. Just, you know, I can't remember what my kid calls it, but when you go to, what do they call it, a suicide when they make the drinks and they take a hit of every single fountain drink there is, right? There's some of you that have been doing that. And that's disgusting, right? It's gross. You've let all kinds of things in there. Some of them even snuck in. You didn't even know. It was like the mystery soda. You let that in there. You don't know. You thought it was a good idea at the time. You thought it was a good idea. And what I want to say to you today is I really truly believe this. Like, God wants us to say, hey, let's just dump all that junk out. Let's just dump that junk out. And then I just want to pour into you my peace that is always there for you. Always there for you. Always there for you. And so that's what I think what God wants to do today. So here's what I want to do. I want us to stand. This is a short talk. I want you to stand. I'm going to invite the worship band up. There's a third group. There's a third group I want to just mention real quick. And that is some of you that feel like, hey, I have a little bit of understanding of this peace. Dave, I've gone down this road. I've had Jesus in my life. You know, I've followed him in the past. But you haven't opened that lid up in a while. Like, it's been a while. You have some old coffee in there. It needs to be warmed up a little bit. And I want you to receive prayer today, too. So what I want to do is three things. The first one is, if you've never said, Jesus, I want your peace in my life. I want to be changed from the inside out. If you've never done that, I want to invite you today. We're going to have a prayer ministry team in the back, to my left, your right. I want you to go to that prayer ministry team and say, you know what? I want to actually invite Jesus. I want him to pour into me. I want him to pour into me. I've never had that before. I want you to get prayer today. If you're a person who says, you know what? I've been pouring a lot of junk into my life. Maybe it's a little Jesus, a little bit of soda, a little bit of all this kind of stuff. That I know it's got me doing that cycle of rage that I was experiencing, my story in the beginning, right? Get down this cycle and I can't get out of it. I'm stuck in the maze. I'm influenced by all kinds of stuff. And I just want peace. I want that perfect peace in my life. And I want God to pour that into me fully and get rid of all the other stuff that's in there. And if that's you, I want you to receive prayer today too. Because here's the deal. If we are followers of Jesus, if we are apprentices of Jesus, as we engage the marketplace, as we engage community, as we engage our family, our loved ones, our friends, what is poured into us should pour out as evidence of our relationship with Jesus. Those actions of peace, those are evidence that we're receiving peace. Allow Jesus to pour into you today the power of peace. Allow him to pour into you.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.